The topic this evening is an important one. It deals with the home. Some of you might say, well, I'm single. I'm not married. Well, first of all, if you're single and you plan on marrying, start praying for your wife now. There's nothing wrong with that. She's probably praying for you. Perhaps you have been married and you are widowed and you say, well, what does this devotion have to do with me? Well, do you have children? Pray for your daughter-in-laws and pray for your children, and your daughters. Pray for them. They are mothers and they need godly wisdom and the content of these prayers that we will be looking at. Some of you might say, well, I'm not married and I don't have any kids. Well, pray for our children at Central Florida Bible Church, because they someday will be establishing their own homes. So you see, all of us have a great ministry. I ask you to pray for my wife. And I believe that speaking for all of the elders, they would say, pray for my wife. And we need to pray for one another as we have this great, wonderful Mother's Day coming up this coming Lord's Day. By the way, we also have the joy of having the National Day of Prayer the same day as Mother's Day. So I think that we ought to have our wives right on the top and our moms on the top of our prayer agenda. A wise man will pray for his wife, and he'll begin praying before he even is married or even knows her. I was praying for a wife when I was 12 years old. You've heard that testimony before. That's what you call, Lord, preparational sanctification. Good theological term. And we need to continue to pray for our wives. No other person than you, dear mom, dear wife, is more central and important in our lives. And our wives always need our prayers. Whether she asks you to pray for her or not, and I'm sure she does, pray for her. Take time not only to pray for her, but with her every day. Is there a time of prayer and Bible reading that you have with your wife during the day? Do you take that time to be in prayer? How important it is. The family that prays together certainly will stay together. And if you're going to pray for your wife, you need to know what's going on in her life, and that implies good communication and taking the time to know what the needs are, what she's doing, what she's thinking about, what her fears are, what stage in life chronologically she may be in. Those fears will change, and sometimes they are physiological fears. And we need to listen and care and love and minister to our wives. That's what 1 Peter chapter 3 is all about, isn't it? Verse 7. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Many men are dwelling with their wives according to ignorance. And that is sad. So there are 7 points. And of course, in the time allotted, we're going to be moving very quickly. And we're not going to be necessarily looking up all of these scriptures, but we would encourage you to look up those that I do highlight for you. There is some fill in the blank, and I'd encourage you to join and follow along with us. But first of all, as godly men, we are to pray that our wives will know God's will. That they'll know God's will for their life, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit unto every good work. You look at the context of the book of Colossians, as Paul prayed for the believers at Colossae. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, it's a beautiful template as to how we can pray for our wives. That they'll know God's will for their life, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Some men say, okay, honey, let's start having family devotions. It lasts 3 days, and then right then it's all forgotten, and it stops. And then maybe the preacher preaches a hot sermon again on that topic, and then maybe another 2 days, and then that quits, you know. Paul says, I don't cease to pray for you and to desire, notice the context, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Do we need godly wives who know the will of God and seek God's will and care about what God's will is all about? Certainly we do. And it says, in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy. The word worthy there means to bring to balance. Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing. That means spiritual progress. We need to pray for our wives and pray for spiritual progress and spiritual growth in her life. And by the way, we as men have the responsibility of creating the environment in the home whereby our wives are able to grow. And that's the responsibility of the man to do so. Just as a plant needs to be properly fertilized for spiritual growth, so does God's Word teach that as well. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering. You need that, wives? Patience and long-suffering? Yeah, I think so. You've got quite a job description on your hands, being a mom and being a wife, patience and long-suffering, knowing the will of God. All of these things are there. And it says here, with joyfulness. Joyfulness. It goes a long way when you enjoy serving Jesus. And you know what? You want to create joy in your home. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So number one, pray she'll know God's will for her life, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, that the Lord will make her a knowledgeable, fruitful child of God. Some of you ladies are really going to need this second point. Isaiah 40. Here's a second prayer that you need to have for your wife. Pray that her stamina. Yeah, we need it, don't we? Some of you may feel like you're dragging in, even though I may not say that you look that way. You may feel that way. Pray that her stamina will be strong and her stamina high. You know, the Lord can do that for us. There have been so many times where I've just been tired and said, Lord, give me the grace and the strength that I need to preach the message of God's Word with strength and conviction. And you know what happens? I get behind this pulpit and God gives me the energy. And He just, now I may drop afterwards and sit down and next to Jim Forbes and have a cup of coffee after the evening service, say, I need to sit down, depending on whether I've had my rest or something. But God gives the strength. And, you know, to housewives as well. It says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint. Pray for your wife, for stamina and strength. She has a lot on her shoulders. A lot of responsibility, a lot of people pulling at her. You know, if you were to pay your wife a salary commensurate with what she does in the business world, I'll tell you what, she'd be making a lot more than you, I guarantee you. She is a woman of many, many hats. Read Proverbs 31 and what it has to say about the wife. And it says here, she needs strength. The youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But women don't have that privilege, do they? No matter how tired you are. You know, have you ever heard people say, oh, I'm too tired to go to work. Or I'm too tired to go to class. I'm sleeping through chapel, the college student says. Wife doesn't have that privilege. No matter how she feels, she's got to be up at bat. Got to transport Rollo over to school. Got to do this, got to be here, there. Got to do this, got to do that. Many of you wives are homeschooling. Doesn't matter how you feel. You have deadlines, responsibilities, commitments to make, and they're there. But God gives you the grace, and you look back. I was talking with Amelia today, age 91. And she was talking about the fact how that sometimes even small tasks just kind of get her really tired. And I said, Amelia, remember 50 years ago when you used to run that rooming house for seminary students at Grace Theological Seminary? Do you remember how you had about 8 or 9 students in there and you had to wash the sheets, you had to iron them? And she said, yeah, I remember those old-fashioned cotton sheets. I ironed every one of them. And she started delineating, and then I saw the gleam in her eye, and she said, I just don't understand how God ever gave me the strength to do all of that. I just can't imagine. And it was a trip down memory lane to think of that. But God gives the strength when we need it. And it's no surprise that God gave us our children when we were younger. Amen? How would you like to raise your kids now? Some of you might say, yeah, I am. That might be the case. Anyway, it says in verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord. Oh, we need to pray for our wives to wait upon the Lord. They may wait on you a lot too. But, you know, we need to wait upon the Lord. The Lord will renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. How many times I've seen Melody so tired, and then in come the grandkids, or in comes a need, and she's ready to go to help the kids and do this and that. That strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So pray for your wife's stamina. She really does need it. Okay, I know some of you are going to say, I'm going to give her a few Jensen tablets too. That's all right, go ahead and do that. But pray for spiritual strength above all. Number three. And I'd like for you to write in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 on this one. Pray that she will be relieved from worry. Do women worry? Why worry when you can pray? But you know what? Women do worry sometimes. Now, do they worry more than men? Let's take a poll. How many here would say that women worry more than men? May I see your hand, please? Just the men. Listen to there. I'll tell you what. That's exactly what I expected to see. Okay, a mixed response based on your gender that you represent here. They can worry. We as men, first of all, need to help with the worry problem. You know, men, sometimes you have to have wisdom with what you bring home and what you say. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, am I contributing to her worry by my financial irresponsibility? Or am I contributing to her worry by not giving security and love and all of those things that need to be there? Well, pray that she'll be relieved from worry or guilt over things which are beyond her control. You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, last week Brother Charles preached on this section. Be anxious or careful for nothing. The Greek word careful could better be translated full of care. Don't be full of care. Careful is the idea. Nowadays it has a little bit of a different idea. Don't be divided. Don't be distracted is the idea of the word. Don't have your attention taken away from the Lord. Don't lose your joy. But in everything, what do? You deflect the worry. You channel the worry. We need to encourage our wives to redirect and channel the worry. When you're in a self-defense school and someone takes a blow at you, you learn to redirect the energy of that blow, turn it around, and use it against your opponent. And that's what we need to do when we talk about worry. We need to redirect that energy and turn it around. And how do we do it? We redirect that worry towards a positive response, which is what? Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving will make sure that our attitude is right. And we make our requests known unto God. And when your wife comes to you with worrisome things, Don't say, stop worrying. You're a worry wart. You know, and don't start singing the Patch the Pirate songs and all this. You know what? Say, honey, let's pray about it. Let's just take time right now to pray about what's concerning you right now. And redirect that worry into worship. She's just picked the wrong W, that's all. You see, she needs worship and not worry. Redirect it. And the Lord is able to give great victory. Number four, we need to pray for our wives that her agenda and tasks would go smoothly. You know, you're not the only one that has a things to do list. Oh, maybe her list would dwarf yours if it was really going to be put down on paper. But pray that her agenda and tasks would go smoothly and that she would accomplish much. You know, when you begin your day in prayer, ladies, you'll be surprised how smooth the Lord will help your day. And gentlemen, we need to be in prayer as well with our wives. Look at the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Notice the verbs. Comfort your heart. Establish you in every good word and work. So you see, Paul prayed that those believers that were so dear to his life would be comforted and established, and that their work and their fruit would remain and abide, and it would be a great word and work. Should we not pray that for our wives as well? Then you look further in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. You know, our wives have many opportunities to share Christ, just like you will. You may be going into the workforce and they may be staying at home, but calls and needs and the children. How many times in the back of my Bible, I've looked quite often, and I have a listing here of the salvation of my children. And with two of my children, they were saved when Melody led them to the Lord in the course of the day, having Bible when I was at the church office. That shows that Melody was involved in soul winning during the day, but she looked at the children and in devotion time. When I came, we had a wonderful time of prayer and rejoicing. Sometimes our children were saved in family devotion, but in two cases, it was when Melody was with the children alone, just talking and sharing and gleaning and seizing the moment for the cause of Christ, you see. Well, pray that the word of the Lord may have free course. So we need to pray for our wives that the Lord will bless their schedules and that their tasks would go smoothly and that they would accomplish much for the Lord. And you know, it says here in verse 3 of chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. That needs to be the prayer, you see, for our wives as well. Number five, we need to pray that a godly mentor would come into her life. We need to pray that a godly lady, a female, would, just as we could use mentors and accountability partners as men, may our ladies likewise. And this is a tremendous opportunity, as Brother Del Stewart taught from the book of Titus in Sunday school, as it teaches in chapter 2 and verse 3, this very familiar passage, that the older women are to teach the younger women. And that is a great ministry. You know, so many times people say, well, I used to serve the Lord when I lived up in Poughkeepsie, New York. But I don't serve the Lord now. Hey, you shouldn't be retired. You ought to be mentoring a young lady that needs help. Another mom somewhere. There's no unemployment in the body of Christ. And even when he takes you home to heaven, you're going to be serving and working for him, fitted with a future glorified body. So every one of us ought to be employed. Older women, you know, I'm not going to define older, but the presbyteros women, you know, the women that are mature in the faith, chronologically, but also spiritually. They need to be godly mentors that will, ladies with ladies, share and help them to grow. And boy, that is such a blessing when young ladies have somebody that they can call. A lot of times ladies don't have a mom to call. Maybe she's deceased. Maybe she died early. Or maybe she's unsaved and doesn't have a spiritual bone in her body, so to speak. And when it comes to spiritual guidance and wisdom, you have to go to someone in the body of Christ. And we need to pray that. You see, no lady, no man is an island. We need one another. That's the beauty, by the way, of the body of Christ and local church membership and participation, the body life of the local church. Number six, pray that she will not gossip or keep company with those who do. Now, the Word of God warns against those who are idle, those who have a tendency to speak more than they should. In the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19, notice what God's Word says here. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Ministries have been ruined by pastors' wives and elders' wives that could not keep confidence. Deacons' wives, leadership and such. It's so critical that there be that proper relationship. And by the way, don't share intimate information about your family unless it is someone who is in a position to help you and mentor you. And normally that's going to be one person, you see. Sometimes things can be so proliferated in a church that if God were to heal a family, they never would come back because everyone knows. Then they wind up going to another church. You know, that's one of the blights of ministerial counseling. So often the pastor that does the counseling winds up losing the people. They go to another church. Because, you see, everybody knows their problem sometimes in churches. And because of that, they wind up going somewhere where they can maintain anonymity after they've gotten the victory over the problem. We need to learn to keep confidences. 1 Timothy 3 is that passage referring to the qualifications for leadership in the local church. And you're familiar with it. Speaking about the wives of deacons and certainly elders as well, the qualifications are very similar here. The Word of God says here in verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. 1 Peter 4:15 is another scripture that you can add if you like. 1 Peter 4:15 reads, let none of you suffer as a murderer. Oh, I'd never murder. Or as a thief. I'd never steal. But then it says, as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Number seven. We need to pray that God would give our wives discernment. That God would give our wives discernment and wisdom. Those are two great companions. That God would give our wives discernment and wisdom and protect our wives from those who would deceive her. You know, the television is the great unbridled tongue. And many, many ladies have gone astray listening to the counsel of Gloria Steinem, Oprah Winfrey, and other liberals and libertarians that know not the Lord and are involved in agendas and speak about those areas that are contrary to God's Word. And oftentimes, counsel can come from ladies at work that don't know Christ and they don't care about the home. They don't care about the sanctity of marriage. They don't care about biblical responsibility. And they give counsel that is contrary to the Word of God. And we need to pray that God would give our ladies and our home, and certainly collectively, wisdom and discernment to protect them from those. We remember 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible tells us Adam was not deceived, but woman being deceived was in the transgression. In other words, what verse 14 is basically teaching is that Eve violated the chain of command. She acted independently of Adam, and she ate of the tree. Now, keep in mind that sin didn't enter into the world until Adam committed the sin. But the entryway, the fulcrum that Satan used was getting the woman to act outside of the guidance and the command of her husband, of her mate, you see. So therefore, we need to pray for wisdom that God will give direction. And of course, we have that promise, don't we? What does it say? Let's claim this when we go to prayer tonight. Look at James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives it to all men liberally. He doesn't hold back. It doesn't upbraid. And it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, a two-souled man, is unstable in all his ways. So we need wisdom in these seven areas. Pray for your wife and pray with your wife as well. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the wonderful, blessed women that you have brought here to Central Florida Bible Church, and how, Lord, we see and we will see, Father, next Sunday as we preach our Mother's Day message, Lord, the role of women in the early church throughout history. Oh, the blessing that women were in the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray and would pray a hedge of protection upon each one of our fine ladies, that you would bless them and encourage them. Help us, Lord, to support them and to lead them in the paths of righteousness, that we would honor and glorify you. And Lord, even tonight, may we remember our ladies in prayer as we go before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.